Let me say good afternoon to everyone and want to welcome you to worship service here with the Highland Heights Church of Christ. I want to thank all our brothers that have participated thus far in our worship service. I'm Brother Horace Stroud. I am the local minister serving the congregation that assembles at Highland Heights in the Acres Home area. I want to welcome you again to our worship service, and just to remind us, in Acts 2:42 and verse 47 of Acts, Luke penned those things that constituted worship service, the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, which is sharing that which God has blessed us with, and breaking of bread, and in prayer. Those brothers have led us in prayer on this afternoon, and then we've been led in singing on this afternoon, praising God. The Bible says, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as to be saved. If you're on the call on this afternoon, you've been invited to worship with us via the conference call, and you are not a member of the Lord's Church, the Church of Christ. We want you to know you are our honored guests, our VIPs, and we want you to become a Christian. And I will share with you at the close of this message what one must do according to the Bible to become a child of God and to become a Christian. On this afternoon, we want to continue on this morning. We looked at a message from the Word of God, recognizing those mothers. We know the country celebrates today as Happy Mother's Day, and I want to say Happy Mother's Day to all mothers, be it mothers, grandmothers. Want to say Happy Mother's Day to you, and want to use that day to look in the Word of God and to encourage and to bless you, to strengthen you with characteristics that we find in the Bible. This morning, we talked about a woman of Canaan, looked at a woman that had the fortitude, the patience, the strength to do that which was necessary to help her child in that case. And so on this evening, we want to go back and look at the Old Testament text and find another example that we can find to strengthen those that are mothers. The scene that we find in Exodus chapter 2, thank our brother for reading those scriptures, but let us go and look into Exodus chapter 1 that will prepare us for the text in Exodus chapter number 2. In Exodus chapter 1 and verse number 8, the Bible says, "Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we." And so Pharaoh drummed up in his mind how to address this concern that he had with the children of Israel being mightier than him. Because he said in verse number 10, he said, "Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. And so get them up out of the land." So he declared in verse number 22 of Exodus chapter 1, "And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born, ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive." So Pharaoh said in his heart, how can I address this situation with the Egyptians not being as mighty as the Israelites? He said, "What we'll do is every time a male child is born, we will cast him into the river." Now, what's important that you remember the river. He said, "Cast him into the river that the child may, the male child may die. However, if it is a daughter, we shall allow that person to live. And so in Exodus chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 1, and there went a man out of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. The Bible says, reads, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months, knowing the decree that Pharaoh has said about if you find a male child, to cast him into the river. And so the Bible says in verse number 3, when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. Excuse me. And so we see that the ark that when we read in Genesis chapter number 6, we find then that God used an ark made of gopher wood, Genesis 6:14. And God used that ark to save his people, that they built him an ark made of gopher wood. But in this case, we find that she made an ark also. But this ark was not made of wood. It was made of bulrushes. So we find again, she made an ark. But this ark was made of reeds. And what she did, she dabbed it with slime and with pitch. And what she did was she took the child and she put the child in that ark. And she allowed that ark to go down. The Bible says she laid it in the flags or the reeds by the river's brink. Now, we want to know how that Pharaoh wanted to use the river to kill the male children of God. However, God allowed Jochebed, Moses' mother, to use the river to prolong the life of her son. So we see that it goes back to remind me in Genesis 50 where Joseph told his brother, you all meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Understand those that are children of God, what those may try to use to hurt us, God can use to help us. And so she put the child in the river, not knowing what was in the river. You could have had snakes and alligators and all kind of animals in the river, but she also showed her trust in God. And so she allowed the child to go down the river. The Bible says in verse 4, and his sister stood afar off to see what would be done to him. But for the Christian, not only were her eyes, Miriam's eyes, his sister, on him, but Peter also declares to us, when you are a child of God, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, Peter wrote, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayer. So not only was Moses' sister watching him, but God was also watching what would be done. And the Bible says in verse 5, and the daughter of Pharaoh, and that's the subject on this afternoon, the daughter of Pharaoh. This morning we talked about the woman of Canaan. Now we're speaking about the daughter of Pharaoh. The Bible says, came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to bring it. So you find here that it was providence, the providence of God, that at the time that Pharaoh's daughter washed herself, at that same time, that child whom Jochebed had put in the river to go down the river, the Bible says she was there to wash herself. And as she washed herself, she saw the ark among the flag, and she sent her maid to bring it. The Bible says, notice now, Pharaoh possessed an evil heart. However, his daughter possessed a good heart. And the Bible says, and when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. See, God knew that Pharaoh's daughter possessed a mother's heart, because any mother would help any child that was crying, regardless of the ethnicity, the race, or the color. She knew she was an Egyptian. However, this child was a Hebrew. However, Pharaoh's daughter had the heart of a mother. As we studied this morning, her heart was, how can I help this child? Any mother that has the heart of a mother's heart would do the same as Pharaoh's daughter did. So the Bible records, then said his sister, that's Moses' sister, Miriam, to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? We talked this morning about a mother's responsibility is to nurse a child, to care for that child, to protect that child, to raise that child to the best of their ability. And when your skill set or your abilities are limited, that you have a mother's heart that will get help for the child that is needed. She was the daughter of Pharaoh, an Egyptian. She did not know the mannerisms of the Hebrew women. Therefore, when Moses' sister asked her, do you want me to go get a Hebrew woman that could nurse this child for thee? Yeah, so again, we want to maintain that the responsibilities of a mother is to nurse, is to care for a child to the best of your ability. When there are limitations in your skill set, I'll use, then you have the mindset that I will get help for the child. As we saw this morning, she asked the Lord to help me. And so the Bible tells us in verse number 8, and Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. There was no question. Go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. Now, I want us to see the providence of God and how God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is. This same God that lived during this time is the same God we serve during our time. During this time, Moses' mother felt she could no longer hide that child. So what she did was she put the child in the hands of God. See, there are times when things get difficult and things get challenging. As parents, we have to put a child in the hands of God and ask God to protect him. Ask God to guide him. We do all that we can in raising the child, doing the best that we can to raise that child, hopefully according to the word of God, that they can grow up. We talked about this morning how children need to grow up emotionally safe, psychologically safe, in order that their development is not hindered because of a distraction. We talked about this morning about abuse, neglect, and sometimes household challenges that can hinder the development of the child. She said to Miriam, go and get a maid for this child. Now we find in verse number 9, I want us to see God in verse number 9, working in the lives of those that are righteous. The Bible says, and Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, her being Moses' mother, Jochebed, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. This is the providence of God. She allowed the child to go down the river in an ark of bulrushes. God saw fit that as Pharaoh's daughter had went down to wash herself at the river, she sees the ark among the flags. She asked her maids to go get that ark and bring it to her. When she opened it up, she saw a child. The Bible says, however, she had compassion on him, even though he was a Hebrew child. And so when the offer came to her to get a Hebrew woman to raise that child for her, Miriam goes and go home and say, Mom, Pharaoh's daughter found Moses. And what she asked me to do was to go get a nurse for her. Mom, you have a chance to raise your own child right in Pharaoh's house and to get paid for it. How can you pay a mother for raising their own child? Well, this case, we see she was paid wages for raising her own child. A mother should always try to get proper help for their child or their children. Pharaoh's daughter did that. Sometimes getting proper care will cost money. I'm saying that to us today. It's the responsibility of the mother to give proper care or help for your child. Sometimes that care may cost. That's why as parents, we have to make sacrifices in our lives for the betterment of our children. Sometimes as parents, and we talk about the mother this morning or this afternoon, sometimes, mother, we have to put our life on hold sometimes. Why? Because you are first to be a mother. And there are cases where mothers, because they may not have a male in their life, will bring this male into their life. And that male sometimes can disrupt that home. In the sense that we live today where you bring a man into a house and you want that man to be, quote unquote, your man. However, the children never accept that man. And sometimes as mothers, we don't ask the child how you feel about this. We just do what we want to do. And I want to encourage parents, mothers today, put your children first. You gave birth to them. It's your responsibility to nurse those children and to raise them. And sometimes that may mean in order for them to be safe, I may have to raise them by myself. Don't always think because you have someone that may be assisting you financially, that's for the betterment of yourself and for your children, because always that's not the case. And I'm just saying to all, you bring somebody into your home, allow the home to accept the person. And the Bible says, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. Moses means to be drawn out. So we find here, Pharaoh's daughter had the heart of a mother. She ended up adopting Pharaoh as her son, allowed help to be brought in to help assist in the development and the growth of that child. That's a parent's, a mother's responsibility to nurse. We said it this morning, 1 Thessalonians 2 and 7, is to nurse or cherish that child. That's your responsibility. Don't put nothing before your child. You gave birth to him. That's your child. Yeah. And even if you have a husband that goes astray, your responsibility is to care and protect that child. Hopefully we have relationships, husband and wives, Christian homes, that we can raise children up to the best of our ability and instill in them Christian values. You know, and as Proverbs says, train up a child, and that's individually based on the makeup of that child for that child's betterment. And I said this morning, sometimes we have children that need more care than other children. Some children can care for themselves at a certain age. Other ones need more help. And as a mother, nurse your child, care for them, protect them, and do all you can to raise them up so that when they get to the age of accountability, they can make decisions not having their development as a child. We talked about those ACEs on this morning, those what is called adverse childhood experiences, where children experience things that are adverse, that are against them, you know. And so we need to protect that child and raise the child. Pharaoh's daughter did that for this child, the daughter of Pharaoh. Yeah. So we have another biblical example of a biological mother and then one that adopted a child. However, the heart, the compassion that Moses penned, she had regarding the child. Want to encourage mothers to have that compassion for your child. And even when they're not the best child they could be, we still want to encourage them, because at any time, someone's life can be turned around for the betterment. That's my message on this afternoon to our mothers. You may be on the call, you may be a mother and haven't obeyed the Lord yet. Well, you can be an example. We talked last week about the faith of Lois, the grandmother and mother to Timothy. And so you can be that example for your child by obeying the Lord. We find in Romans, the first chapter, we talked about how one become a Christian. And Romans 1:15, the Bible says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So we find that the gospel of Christ is God's power to save a person from their sins. You must believe that message. The Bible tells us, not only must I believe it, but I need to repent. Romans 2:4, Paul wrote, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So one not only must hear the gospel, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, he was buried, he rose again the third day. That is the gospel of Christ. You must believe it. You repent of your sins, Romans 2:4. Why do I need to repent of my sins? Because in Romans 3:23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody has sinned. And what we need to do is repent of those things that we've done wrong. After repenting, the Bible teaches us what God did for us in Romans 5:6. The Bible says, for when you were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the gospel. He died for us. They buried him in a tomb. He rose again the third day. Well, to become a Christian, you must imitate what Christ did. We find that in Romans chapter number 6, when Paul wrote, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God don't want anyone to continue in sin. That's why verse 2 says, God forbid, or God won't allow it. And then he says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So Christ died for sin. We see in verse number 2 what person must do to become a Christian. They must die to sin. How does that happen? Verses 3 and 4, Paul wrote, know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So not only do you hear the gospel, believe the gospel, you repent of your sin, you make the confession we find in Acts 8:37, where the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You make that confession prior to being water baptized, and notice you are baptized into his death. And the blood of Christ, by faith, is in the water to cleanse you of all your past sins. You are buried with him by baptism in the death. And just as Christ rose up from the dead, you now rise up to a new life, a newness of life. Now you are a Christian. The Lord has added you to the church. Romans 16:16, it is the church of Christ, the only one you can read about in the Bible. If you submit to the invitation, get with the person that invited you on the call, and we want you to be a Christian. We want you to obey the Lord. I thank you for your listening ear on this afternoon. I now turn you back over to our song leader. Thank you very much.